possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Stay tuned following Jeremy and Joe. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Happy Tuesday.
We got some news.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, I was planning on talking about James Cook today. Didn't know if he would practice today, sign a contract, what have you. It's likely going to be James Cook Day with Hard Knocks coming out tonight at 9.
Right.
Lo and behold, Sean McDermott speaks around 9, says he expects Cook to practice. Conversations have gone in a good way. Things have changed, what have you. We have about 15, 20 minutes where we're like, but is he actually going to practice? And then, lo and behold, James Cook, back at practice, appears in full, and we'll see what goes from there. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Of course, that is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We will talk to Sal in about 10 minutes. He's over at practice. Get his thoughts on this whole thing. But I think right off the bat, Derek, we've gone back and forth talking about this, too, of this whole situation. It has been one of the weirder ones. It's never gotten as contentious as Trey Hendrickson or even what Micah Parsons is at, Terry McLaurin. It's never gotten to an official holdout like Trey Hendrickson and Terry McLaurin were, but it has taken weird turns. He showed up at everything he needed to in the offseason, showed up to camp, was an immediate participant and
took
full
part
participant.
In 8 practices.
And then decided to hold in. And then on Saturday, it appears, due to a conversation between him and his coach, he decided, I'll warm up. I'm just not going to play. Now, that is a little less weird, having actually seen how it went down, because there was a lot of players that warmed up that were not going to play. I think Cole Bishop also was like in uniform, and he's limited today. But in a way, at every turn, James Cook, his representatives, or both, have taken the road less traveled.
To a point where I think the best word to say how this saga has gone is weird. This is weird now.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting to a point where you cannot correctly predict what is going to happen next. And not in a chaotic way, but just in a weird way. It's just not something that you're normally used to seeing. It's not, like you said, it's the road less traveled. It's almost unconventional in a sense of how everything has gone down at this point. However, there's a new wrinkle to all this. He's suddenly not alone. Of course, he gets back to practice, but Cam Hayward in the Pittsburgh Steelers, we'll talk about that a little later. But now that's another person that started out going to practices and has now started a hold-in.
Yeah, and that's why that story has gotten the traction it has in the last few days, is because of how it's been handled, a lot like Cook. It's just, for me now, most of these situations, this would happen, and we'd be sitting here for the next 2 hours going, okay, what's the deal going to look like? A deal's been signed. Now we can't really say that.
Right.
Because he did practice for 8 days and then hold in. And then sort of warmed up in practice. Or at the game. And then didn't play. And now is back. I mean, tomorrow he could begin the hold in again. And this was just seen as like goodwill. Help out the team a little bit. Which is commendable in many ways. But also kind of not how you do this. And that's more my big thing. Number one, I think Cook's asking price is ridiculous. I think the $15 million is a bit much.
It's rich.
And don't give me that they signed a tight end for money. No, we're looking at the position's value. The highest paid running back per year makes $20 million. If you want to complain about that, that's fine. But Cook is not going to be the guy that is going to reset the market and get running backs back to where they were in the 70s and 80s, being the premier position. That is not going to happen. Cook was on the field last year for 48% of the offensive snaps. He is not one of their key pass blockers. He is not in pass pro. Ty Johnson, they openly acknowledge, is their preferred third down back.
Right.
He's not going to make $15 million a year. If that is what he has been dead set on and that they're not close to a deal, then we're going to be here for a while. I don't think he'll ever actually miss games. That is where you genuinely are ruining your career. Even his brother, Dalvin Cook, did not get to that point. He got his deal right before the start of the season, and he did make a pretty penny on it. His career just derailed pretty soon afterwards. He's more of a cautionary tale for teams, not for players.
And I think the other part of this is his contemporary, Kyren Williams, looking for a new deal. He gets a 3-year, 11 per season. There's no way you're getting more than Kyren Williams right now based on on-field usage. Are you still really going to stress on it has to be $15 million a year? Because the market is telling you it's not going to happen. Much like how it told you almost from the beginning. And you're supposed to set a higher number so that you can come down to a more median term. But the fact that there has been no deal done kind of tells me that there's a sticking point that his agent is really refusing to budge from. And considering the hot water said agent got in with the Shamar Stewart situation with Cincinnati and how all of that was handled, I'm really starting to think that James Cook is getting bad advice from his agent. But it's good to see he's back at practice today. And yet, at the same time, I'm not as confident anymore in if it's over today or not. Meanwhile, HBO execs have got to be punching air right now.
Well, now this is what
they
I thought.
They are seeing James Cook practice, and there's like secretly a meltdown in a production truck happening. So if anyone sees like an HBO production truck like shaking, that's someone absolutely pissed right now.
Yeah, the editing is going right to hell. Now, I think I think for the premiere, they handed in the finished cut at like 3 p.m. that day.
Yeah.
But to that point, like the perfect scenario for Hard Knocks is the Darrell Revis Holden when they did the Jets all those years ago. That's how they ended the season, was Darrell Revis getting his contract and arriving at practice.
Right.
That's how they ended it. Cook would be, I imagine tonight's episode is predominantly going to be about Cook's Holden.
Right.
Because not much else has happened. There's been a few injuries, but nothing major. They've already done the Harrison stuff. You'll have the first preseason game. That's about it. But if all of a sudden today, leading into the episode, we have a deal done, it becomes very old news very quickly.
Right.
And this is still a TV show for HBO. They still want ratings. They still want that to be high.
They want there to be some sort of drama because for Bills fans, I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. Bills fans will enjoy anything Bills related on, with the Hard Knocks thing. Like,
well, the Bills were boring on episode one, and we had a lot of people saying like that's what they preferred.
And again,
that's what they wanted.
But again, Bills fans love Bills content for Hard Knocks probably no matter what at that point. The casual NFL fan calls this one of the most boring debut episodes that there is. And now, the first moment that you actually get a whiff of drama, Cook is practicing again? What the hell?
It's also one of those of like, welcome to covering a good team. Who, for the most part, and I mean, you go back to even Bean's comments on our station, 9 years is the first time he's had one of these situations. The Bills are really good at getting their business done. They avoid a lot of drama. They usually move off of guys a year before it's a problem. And even the Stephon Diggs stuff was more drama of, did you adequately replace him? Is the receiver room going to tank? Is the offense going to tank? You can say what you want about the receiver room. They did average 30 points per year last year. The offense did not fall off a cliff. Is that all due to Josh Allen? Is a mix of it with James Cook as well? It's up to interpretation. It's how you feel about it. But that's like been the most drama they've had, especially out of season. In season is a little different. They've had some, you know, tight wire seasons. 2021 is one I think about, and you know, 2023 as well. But for the most part, their off seasons have been relatively boring.
And considering the unconventional hold-in that has already happened as it is, the fact that it could be done within a week, of their, like, they hand in their production meeting and he's back.
Yeah.
Or they hand in the production on this thing, the last bit of it's taken care of, and then he's back at practice. It's like, what are we doing here?
We'll see what happens, though. Let's go to the Western Hotline live from practice. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, we have a new wrinkle with James Cook. He's back at practice.
Yeah, good wrinkle, right? I mean, James Cook is here. He's out on the practice field right now. I posted a little while ago. You can take a look at him. He is in the flesh and blood uniform, helmet, shoulder pads, everything here with James Cook out at practice today. So, obviously, that's great news for the Buffalo Bills.
Now, on Cook, and Sal, me and Derek have talked about this, it almost feels like at every turn, Cook, his representatives both have taken kind of the road less traveled, whether it be to start practicing, then to hold in, showing up to everything, even though everyone knows you're looking for a new contract, what have you. In years past, this would be a signal that there is probably a deal done, that we're kind of all waiting for the notification, here's the terms, and let's ride. I can't totally say I feel that way after, you know, the past few months with Cook. Not to say that's a negative. I just can't say for sure, at least personally, that a deal has probably been done.
No, I mean, I don't know if I could get that far with it either. I think that this is just him practicing and him talking with Sean McDermott and whatever their conversation was about him getting on the field. And we have no indication about anything with contractually. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying it can't happen anytime in the next day, hours, whatever. But we have no indication that's the case. All we know is today James Cook is practicing.
And Sal, that kind of leans into the whole mystique of this hold-in in the first place and the contract situation altogether. We don't know what's going to happen next at this point. Not in a chaotic way, but it seems like this has got to be one of the more unconventional contract situations that we've seen in the league in a couple of years.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I haven't gone back and studied every hold-in in the league and how they lasted or how long they've gone on. And I know Cam Hayward's going through something right now in Pittsburgh as well that's making news. Look, we don't know what's going on behind the closed doors at One Bills Drive. All we know is what, you know, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have kind of been telling us. So it feels to me like, you know, given Sean McDermott's kind of indications here and what he's been saying about go time and getting guys back on the field and how important it is, him having a conversation with James Cook, it feels like, okay, James has made his point and the Bills also need him to practice. So, I don't know if it's any different or not different than most hold-ins because I haven't really studied them because the Bills have never gone through this, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and that was, and being said on the station, that it is 9 years. This is the first time it's happened. So it's kind of, it is somewhat, you know, untested waters. Sal, we also got a bit of an injury update today. I think it is really good news for the Bills and for the fans to hear that Cole Bishop is going to be limited today. He took part, I believe, in the warm-up on Saturday before the game. A number of players did that didn't ultimately end up playing. But Bishop, it really does feel like he needs to get back to practice. He missed most of training camp last year. He's missed a good bit of it this year with a quad injury. It's got to be a great sign that he's at least somewhat back.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, for sure. And I see him right now. He is in uniform and he's out on the practice field. So he's going to be limited today. That's great news, obviously. Same with Taylor Rapp. He's limited. I see him right here on the field. He's in uniform. Curtis Samuel and Alec Anderson, guys, both were actually doing stuff with trainers. I'll have a video of that later. We got to wait on that. But I'll show you that they were off to the side in uniform with trainers doing some things. And just so you know, James Cook is on the field for, you know, his not only individual but team portion as well. So that's good. But, yeah, getting guys back that are limited is obviously very encouraging. And that's exactly, you know, what's happening.
Now, Sal, for this week, we do know the Bills are going to be doing the joint practice with the Chicago Bears. That is going to be later on this week, correct? So how does the practice schedule actually go for this week?
Yeah, so they'll be on the practice field today. They're out there right now. And then tomorrow will be pretty much the same. Carbon copy tomorrow, regular practice, training camp practice. This is still considered training camp. I know we're back here in Orchard Park, but they're still considered training camp. And the team, we get, as a media, we get to watch everything. And then Thursday, the team will charter to Chicago. Friday will be a joint practice with the Bears. Sunday night will be the game against the Bears. And obviously, that's preseason game number two. We'll see how much the starters play again, or if they do, or, you know, whatever's happening with that. Sean McDermott did not give an indication, by the way, today of anything with that. He was asked about Josh possibly playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On Sunday, he said, we'll see. And obviously, that could also be determined about what kind of work they get or don't get done in Chicago on Friday.
And on joint practice, Sal, I've been of the opinion that I think coaches prefer those over preseason games. I don't know if it's unanimous around the league, but I do feel like joint practices are becoming a much more – you see it much more than in years past. Is that the feeling you get, or do coaches prefer kind of their in-house work and then they play the preseason games?
You know, it varies from team to team. I think there was a time where I saw a lot of them, and then we didn't see any for a while. I think they're coming back now. Teams are getting – and part of the reason is, guys, you only get three preseason games, no more four, right? I think that's part of it. You get an extra day of work, like a kind of a fourth preseason game. You have a full roster to evaluate. That's part of it. But, look, this is an individual choice amongst coaches. The Bills haven't done one – hadn't done one in a while, and then all of a sudden they did last year. They are doing one this year. The Bears are having two of them. They had one last week against the Dolphins. They're having one this week against the Bills. Every team is different. It really is. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have indicated many times it's about trust, having trust with the other team to get the work done. You don't want to go out there and everybody's just fighting all the time and you're getting nothing done. And it's not productive and it's risky. That's not the goal of these joint practices. It is to get work done, having guys go against other people, other teams, seeing different offenses, different defenses, different styles, different individuals going against you. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what the numbers are as far as joint practices. I feel like they kind of were really popular in the early 2000s, and then they went away for a while. I feel like they're coming back now, but I do think that might be a product of having three preseason games instead of four.
And Sal, to go further on that, I do believe that its popularity also has to do with there's a degree of control still that live action won't give you, in particular, quarterback hits. You're able to protect your quarterback, but get a lot of live reps as you would. And I'd imagine, especially for the Bears, having one last week with Miami and now this week with Buffalo, a good way to get Caleb Williams up to speed.
No doubt about it. And especially with a new head coach, right, and Ben Johnson, and a new, you know, he's the offensive play caller and a head coach. So that's an entirely new install. And it's interesting, like, this is what I mean by it's everybody's individual, he's different. Like, to me, okay, the Bears, hey, have a new play caller, a new head coach. From the outside, I'm like, okay, don't they need as much time on task with his own coaches? But they feel it's more beneficial to go against another team. So I think that's just so different for every team. It varies from team to team, and everybody's got their own reasons why they want to do things. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes forward, but we know the Bills will be in Chicago Friday for a joint practice. I agree with you about, though, the control, the quarterbacks. Friday, you don't hit the quarterbacks. They'll have red jerseys. So you can get Josh Allen as much work as possible and hopefully stays out of harm's way. I mean, obviously, guys are flying around trying to beat their man around the edge and all that. But you don't touch the quarterbacks. And then, you know, once you get to Sunday, all bets are off because it's a preseason game.
All right, Sal. We'll let you get back to practice. We hear anything, you know where to find us.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on... Seems to be a positive update on the James Cook situation. He is practicing. We don't know if this means the hold-in for all of it is done. There still cannot come to an agreement on a contract. We talked to Sal right there, and both of us kind of feel the same way. Derek, I know you feel the same way. Because of how this has gone, unlike years past where you'd see this and go, where's my Adam Schefter, where's my Ian Rapoport notification? I'm just waiting on those.
You're waiting for the contract to drop.
Yeah. It's not that anymore. This could, I think, just be goodwill. It could just be, you know, I held in for a little while. We're having better talks. We'll get back to practice. Think about
Or it could be you played your last hand and you lost.
Could be that. But, I mean, we talked about it last week, too. Could this have been they were having good talks, and they hit a wall, and that's where Cook pulled himself. And it could be the good talks are continuing again. All right, I'll get back on the practice field. Again, a little bit of a goodwill thing of I'm not here to hold in. I am here to work. But I need to get my deal. It still could be that. We do not know the inner workings of the negotiation. The only thing that really stumped that was when Bean spoke on our station, he did make it sound like they weren't that close to a contract.
And furthermore, it does seem to be conflicting reports on that. Like we saw it from Diana Rossini mm-hmm. of The Athletic of, you know, they're not very far off, everything like that. I look at it as you played your last hand and you lost. Why? Ty Johnson looked really good on Saturday.
Right. Well, you all thought it was going to be Ray Davis, but instead it was Ty Johnson. They didn't look bad.
It's the Bills going ahead and saying, we can do this without you. You're either here or you're not. And you could see, like, you could really get the palpable agitation that McDermott had talking about it on Saturday, being asked questions about it. It is to a point, I think it is. We're moving on without you if you're not back.
Yeah.
That could also be it. Like, there's so many different ways you can look at this and go, okay, he's back at practice today. Why? And the answer is we don't truly know. And we're never really going to know unless somebody actually says something publicly. And I doubt that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are so many different reasons you could posit for a theory. Mine is you played your last hand and you lost. The team's ready to move on without you. You better get back on the practice field.
Well, and on that, too, I mean, we've talked about this for months with
Cook. Because then you're costing yourself millions.
Yeah, but I mean, we've talked about this for months with Cook. He hasn't really any leverage. Yes, this is the last year, and if they don't do something, he'll hit free agency. They could franchise tag him.
Right.
And if he really wanted to start missing games, which I think if he really was missing games, he'd have to come back by week 12.
Yes.
He'd have to play at least six games. Cool. Do that. And then if they want to, they will franchise tag you. And if you don't sign that, we're at the Le'Veon Bell situation where, cool, you're just going to hold out and that you're not going to get the money you wanted. Just flat out, you're not going to, and it's going to kill
your
career.
If you skip one regular season game, you're losing yourself millions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it outright.
Well, especially a rookie deal and a running back rookie deal.
It's going to work at this mm-hmm. point. You've seen how it works.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold out into the season, the Bills are a good enough offense that they can move on without you. Will they be third in the league, second in the league? Maybe not, but they'll be good enough because you have the NFL's MVP at the helm.
Well, but also, too, if on Cook, you better hope they're not, because if Ray Davis is even close to what you – and by the way, he put a little over 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns. But what if Davis is a little over 1,000 yards and like 12 touchdowns because he gets to the goal line too? Or it's just a mix between him and Ty Johnson.
What if it's a mix between the two of them where it like 800 yards and 600 yards?
Yeah. And they're just fine.
It
all of a sudden is, again, where is your value? It's not – to me, it is just – it's not $15 million. He is not a good pass blocker. He's on the field less than 50% of the offensive snaps on a season. He's not even their preferred third down back. I brought up the Josh Allen quote a lot. It's not him trashing Cook. It is just they are telling you how the Bills feel about the running back position. They like to do it by committee. There can be your A back. There can be your number one. And James Cook is their number one.
They have a tendency to draft one almost every year.
But that's the thing, too. Ray Davis is, what, a third-round pick 2 years ago?
Fourth
round pick 2 years ago. But guys like Bucky Irving were fifths, and they've immediately taken over as starting roles.
And the Bills have invested high picks into multiple running backs in the past as it is. You're not even the first one in this regime.
No. You're the first one that's maybe had an honest conversation of, should we pay them?
Yes.
But I'm with Sneaky Joe in the morning. Until I see it, I don't really believe they're going to do it or want to do it.
I think it's also, I don't know if it's a want. I think it is acknowledgement that they cannot afford it long term. Even in a couple of years, because you're still in a very tight window here that you've got the best of Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me they acknowledge that they are not going to be able to afford him. And maybe they want to and they try to get things done. But I don't know. It just seems to me like a front office that acknowledges that they don't have the cap to go forward to meet the demands of Cook and his agent.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Your thoughts on the James Cook situation? It does appear to have taken a good turn, but no word yet on if the deal has been met. He is, though, practicing in full as the Bills get back to work. They play the Chicago Bears this Sunday night for preseason game number two. Again, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.